And as the kids are heading off to Sunday school, can you pull out your swords? Get those Bibles out. So we could do a sword drill. That would get the blood flowing again. You really? You want to pull up? We'll work on that for the new year. We'll do a spontaneous sword drill. That's a really good idea for the new year, right? In the middle of the sermon, we'll just stop, and then we'll yell out a verse. First one to get to it, stand up and read it, gets a hug. We'll just pull out a name. Gail. She won't have any problems giving that hug. As we look to God's word, let us look, and we're going to be reading two verses. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, and John 10, verse 27. The first one says, from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." And then also, now let me read that one again. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." And in the New Testament, Jesus promises this in John 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There are some repetitive words in both of those verses, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. What words did you hear? Right? We'll get there in a second. Let us take this moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can gather together like this in a great country like Canada, and this freedom to worship you and to grow in our faith, to support each other, to have this fellowship, this time of worship, of expressing our love to you, Lord, because, Lord, you first loved us. And we thank you for your love, which endures forever. And as we come to the end of this year, and as we begin to look towards a new year, Lord, we want to pause and thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your hand that has been with us, providing and protecting us all through this year, Lord. We truly are grateful, and we want to be a people of gratefulness and thankfulness, a community that continues to look to you, follow you, Lord, where you lead us. But, Lord, we do come to the end of this year, Lord, with love in our hearts to you, Lord. As we again look to your word, we pray for your help by your Spirit to help understand your word and all that you teach us even today, God. Give us that strength to put it into practice so that we will continue to grow in our faith and be more like Christ. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I wanted to begin just with a very simple point. Good listening matters. I hope you're a good listener. Are you a good listener? I hope you'll be a good listener this morning. And the reason for that is sometimes we don't listen well. Sometimes we don't hear things right. Sometimes we mishear ourselves. And, well, if you talk to yourself, I hope that's another whole problem. But when you're talking to somebody, if you're not, like, paying attention to what they're saying, because maybe you're distracted, you're not going to get what you need to hear. Here are some examples, because even some of the lyrics to our hymns can be misheard. "Well, shepherds wash their flocks by night." No, it's not wash their, that's right. "Well, shepherds watch their flocks by night." But it's been misheard, and people sing that sometimes. Maybe you have. Well, how about the next one? "Joy to the world. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prudes." No. "He makes the nations prove." And some people have misheard that and sung that. How about, and there's a few other ones. If you know the song "Bringing in the Sheaves," it's sheaves, not sheets. Or "Amazing Grace that saves a wrench." No, it's not a wrench like you, a wretch like me. Some of these great hymns of our faith can be misheard. "In the garden," right? "Andy walks with me." Who is Andy? No, it's "and he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own." And so it's very possible songs and hymns can get misheard all the time. And perhaps you have been there and you scratched your head and and just you got it wrong until somebody corrected you. So we're talking this morning about hearing God's voice and how important it is that we are good listeners. And I know this is something that we are all working on. Because, you know, this skill alone, the ability to hear and listen, can transform any relationship. Like, the most important being in your, and when it comes to your relationships, of course, is God. And we need to be able to listen to God. It's just as it's part of walking with Him. As Charles Stanley once said, listening to God is essential to walking with God. Because we need God's guidance, we need God's direction every day. And then, of course, we are required to act on that direction. Have you ever been given directions and you just didn't listen to it? Right? I'm sure we're all guilty of that sometimes. But guess what? It's the end of the new year. A new year is coming. So if this is something that you're going to be working on, may the Lord continue to help you just be a better listener. But anyways, this is a basic part, right, of living a righteous life. And it takes time and it takes effort to get better at hearing God's voice and doing what He says. Now, foundational, of course, to this spiritual discipline is knowing first and foremost that God desires to speak directly to you every day, throughout the day. And one of my favorite questions that I love to ask you, and I would love for you to ask each other, is what is God speaking to you about? What have you been hearing from God lately in your walk with Him? Because as we mentioned in Saul earlier, God desires that we are hearing Him, listening to Him, and acting upon the direction He gives us as part of our walk with Him. Again, as Jeremiah said, call to me and I will answer you and tell you. He will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And of course, when Jesus was speaking about Him being the great shepherd, He said, my sheep, what do? They hear my voice, and I know them. And it doesn't end there, because then it ends by saying, and they follow me, and they follow me. So, God, our Heavenly Father, it's such an important truth. We have to understand this. He longs to engage with you in continual conversation. And so great was His longing for communication that He's given believers in Jesus Christ the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the moment, if you had this moment in your life, that you repented of your sins and you turned to God and you asked Jesus to be your personal Savior and Lord, the moment of your conversion, when the Holy Spirit regenerated your heart and you made that decision and you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in His fullness into you and is that seal now of your salvation. And it's truly amazing that now, because of the Holy Spirit, we have access to the heart of God through the Holy Spirit. It is truly amazing and really beyond words, even, that you and I can know God's will. We can hear the voice of the Almighty and live with the knowledge of His love. And so as we have come through now this Christmas season, we have been reminded through the Gospel of Luke and Matthew how God spoke to many people around Christ's birth. I don't know if you overlook that sometimes, but it truly is amazing, this communication, this desire from God, our Heavenly Father, to speak to us. Whether it was Mary, did God speak to Mary about a birth that she was going to have? Absolutely. God also spoke to Joseph and the shepherds and to the wise men. They all heard God speaking to them and through angelic messengers. But this morning, instead of looking at each of them, we're going to look at somebody else in the Bible, and that is the life of Moses and how God spoke to him. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, Moses heard from God in probably one of the most incredible events recorded in the Bible. What moment was that? The burning bush. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, follow along with me. We're not even going to look at the whole passage, but we're just going to look at the first four verses, because in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, there's this incredible encounter that Moses has with God. And we're going to learn from this encounter how we can be better at hearing God's voice, knowing what He says, so that we will follow where He leads. And so in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, it says this. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Verse 3. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. What an incredible event. And what was it that led him to this place where God spoke to him through a burning bush? And what can we learn that may help us hear more from God? Now let's look at the steps that Moses took, but we're going to look at them in reverse order. In reverse order that we see in the text. Because how did Moses respond when he heard God speak in verse 4? What does he say? What does your text say he says? He says, here I am. Here I am. That's his response to the voice of God. He hears the Lord speaking to him through this incredible, strange sight, and he says, here I am. And this is an acknowledgement of hearing God. It's an announcement that he was ready to listen. There comes a time to listen. And this is important because you need to understand where the path leads before you embark on the journey. And so before you and I begin, we should first be willing to listen. And that's the first step, folks, is are you willing to listen to the Lord? Are you ready to open yourself up to what God has to say? Because let me tell you, he is speaking to you and he is speaking to you right now. Do you believe that? That's the first and foremost truth that we all need to understand in our walk with God. We cannot forget it. And even if you are here today and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, it's the same for you. God is speaking to you. He is speaking to your heart. What is he saying? Are you willing to be quiet and make yourself quiet in his presence and to listen? Because that's where this is leading. Let's consider what transpired in Moses' life in this text. Because as we're going in reverse order, we know he has said, here I am, Lord. But what happened in this event? Well, first of all, Moses paid attention to what God was doing. We cannot overlook that. Moses was paying attention to what God was doing. In verse 3, as we go backwards, Moses thought, I must go over and look at this strange sight. It would have been strange to anybody. The scene that is referenced here isn't what's important, folks. It's the looking that matters. It's the looking. On this occasion, how was God at work? Well, did God get Moses' attention with words? No, but with action. With action. What was the strange sight that Moses saw? Well, he was walking along the mountainside, tending to the sheep. He looked up. He saw a bush burning, which would not have been odd in a desert region where it's hot. Things can catch on fire pretty quickly. But there was something very odd about this particular bush, right? It's burning, but it's not burning up. And so it was something that Moses had never seen before. And I'm sure he did a double take. You know that, you know, you look and then you look again. And then you look again and you're just staring at something. You're like, what is going on there? So he is looking at this bush that is on fire. And he begins to just pay real close attention. He has seen this bush. And that's the important part. It was something they had never seen before. And I'm sure he had a long stare. And so I want you to consider this point. Because when you get your eyes off what you are doing, you can see what God is doing. Did you hear that? When you get your eyes off of what you are doing, you can then begin to see what God is doing around you. So often, folks, our focus is on ourselves and what we are doing with our lives each and every day, when it should be on what God is doing all around us. What is God doing in your life today? How is God at work in your life, in your home, at work, throughout your day? Look with me again at verse 4, because it says, when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, that is when God called to him from within the bush. It's such a small little line. Sometimes we overlook it, but you have to see how important it was that Moses saw this. He looked at it, and when God saw that, he saw and looked at what God was doing, then he spoke. You know, if our eyes are just on ourselves, you know, we're going to miss what God is saying every day. We need to have our eyes open and looking to what God is doing and saying, Lord, where are you at work? Show me that I may be there where you are. When you are paying attention to what God is doing, you can hear what God is saying. And for Moses, it took a burning bush to get his attention. But for you, well, could God do the same? Absolutely, he could, but he could do something completely different to get your attention, but you have to be looking first. Maybe you see what God is doing, but is there something in your life that is preventing you from looking? What is preventing you from paying attention to the work of God, his hand at work in your life? What might be those distractions? Is it work today, folks? Is it family? Is it sports? Is it politics? Is it finances? And what can we do to change this? How do we get ourselves to where we can actually look at what God is doing? Well, we follow along, really, with what Moses did, because the text tells us, as we're going in reverse, right? Moses, went to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. That's in verse 1. Okay, we know what he is doing. He is tending sheep. He's in the wilderness. He's got a job to do. He's looking after the flock. And this text tells us that he changed directions. He went to a different side. He just changed where he was tending the sheep. And now he is at what we call the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, which is also another name for Mount Sinai. But the term mountain of God is a significant, actually, biblical theme that appears throughout the scriptures. And it symbolizes divine presence, revelation, and covenant. It is often associated with specific geographical locations where God revealed himself to his people and there delivered his word, his commandments. And so in short, Moses went to where God was, and we should go where God is as well, where distractions aren't. Okay, whether that be people or work, whether the distractions be your material possessions, whatever it is that keeps you from looking and seeing where God is at work in your life, you have to get away from those distractions. But you know what often we hear? But I'm busy with my work. My family needs me. The people I minister to, they need me. If I don't do this thing, it won't get done. Who will do it? I can't get away from my distractions because these distractions demand my attention. And so the list of excuses go on. This is why it's so important to get away, as Moses did. He changed direction. He went to a different place, a quieter place, a place where God was. All these things, all these distractions, as important as they may be, are interesting, but are potentially also the very reason you are distracted from seeing what God is doing and thereby hearing what he is saying to you even now. But they are also the very things that make it most important for you to hear God's voice. We are not meant to be going from one thing to the next. In fact, God did not create us to be running from one activity to the next. And if you aren't careful, folks, your plans, your planning will distract you from your purpose in life. And what is your purpose in life? What a good time to really revisit that question, to really examine again, what am I here for? As a year ends and a new year begins, well, let me tell you, God's purpose for every individual is this. He wants us to know him personally by giving our lives to Jesus Christ. Then he wants us to discover what it means to live for him in obedience. As Matthew 6, verse 33 says, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, I often get distracted from God's will And that usually happens when I'm focused on my will. My will at times is to be having my plans and working through my planner. Or perhaps it's to my distraction is I have to be productive. I have to achieve success. However, I have learned that God's will is forever for me to just sit at his feet and to focus on him and to pursue my relationship with him each and every day. For I will never know, you will never know why you were created if you don't know your creator and savior. And if you don't allow God to take care of you, listen, how can you take care of others? Really, how can you take care of the person next to you if you are not allowing God to take care of you? Hearing his voice, listening to what he is saying, and obeying him. Now, repeatedly throughout the Gospels, we learn that Jesus, he would regularly withdraw from the crowds and his disciples to go off alone in order to hear from his Father, to commune. It was in this way that he was directed in his ministry. The one who was God felt it necessary to go off alone to be with God. That's just a wow. Amazing. What an example for us. 9 times in the Gospels we learn about Jesus retreating to be alone with God, including from Mark 1, verse 35, where it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Moses is in a very solitary place, and he encounters God, and he hears the voice of God, and he says, "Here I am." From Moses' example, we learn actually 4 simple steps to get closer to God and hear his voice. And I hope this morning that this is truly your heart's desire. Do you want to hear the voice of God? I believe God is always speaking to us, and this is one spiritual practice, one of many, I'm sure, that can help us hear what God is saying, that we really learn from Moses' example. Step 1, get away. Not right now. Stay where you're seated. Moses got away from people by going to the far side of the wilderness. Where can you go for quiet and solitude? Maybe it's a walk around the neighborhood. Maybe it's a hike in the woods. Maybe it's a trip to your garage. Any place you can find that is quiet and closed off away from others, from those distractions, what is that place for you? Be in that place. That is your place where you can go and make it that you are intentionally going there to intentionally hear from God. Determine that in your mind and in your heart. Get away. Step 2, again, get alone. He also went to where God was going, to this mountain, to the mountain of God is where Moses found himself. And where is it that you feel close to God? And perhaps that could be a building or place such as a church or simply somewhere you heard from God in the past. Maybe just being surrounded by God's creation brings you closer to him. Moses turned off the distractions. He put himself in a place where he could focus better on God. So get away, get alone. Step 3, pay attention. Pay attention. When Moses saw what God was doing with the burning bush, again, he looked. He looked closer, and he paid attention to it. It's such a simple little lesson, but it says a lot about what we're focused on, what we're really paying attention to. What has God been doing around you that you need to pay closer attention to? This is so varied. This is and so personal to each one of us. Perhaps for you, it's the color of the sky. Perhaps it's hearing a baby laugh and wondering who taught them what was so funny. Maybe it's getting caught up in the sheer extravagance of God's creation. But the primary way that God again speaks to us is through his word. And sometimes as we read the scriptures, a verse seems to leap off the page right into our hearts and burn with a personal application. So listening, of course, requires a choice where we have to place our attention and keep it there. We need to filter out the sounds and the voices of the world, which would call us away, which constantly call us away from intimacy with God. And we have to keep the first thing the first thing. When God speaks, we want to be found listening. So get away, get alone, pay attention, and step four, be ready to listen. When Moses heard God calling out his name, he acknowledged that he was ready to listen. And as soon as Moses heard the voice of the Lord, he said, "Here I am." So are you ready to listen to what God has to say? You know, this could be the most difficult part because it requires us to actually listen, not just hear. God may tell you something you don't want to hear. Did Moses? He sure did. God instructed Moses to go to Pharaoh, if you know this passage. Go to Pharaoh, bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And whatever God speaks and asks you to do, do it. Don't hold back. Ask for strength to do it. Ask for courage to do it. Get people to pray around you so that you can do it, no matter how major or minor that instruction is. And certainly talk to God about what he is asking you to do if necessary. You know, Moses, after the Lord told him to do this, he asked the Lord many questions, didn't he? He asked him many questions, basically saying that he wasn't the man for the job and didn't want to do it. But you know what? Moses eventually came around because God met every question with an answer and assured him, as we sang earlier, "I will lead you. You just need to follow me." So we can learn, of course, from Moses' mistakes as well as his successes. But what does this look like in real life? And this is where your journey of hearing God and getting closer to God begins, or continues if you have been already on this path. But it will be different for everyone. And where you're at right now, where God's called you, the assignment that he's given to you, where he's leading you, and where he leads you, know he will equip you for what is ahead. But it takes time and it takes experience to learn to recognize God's voice. But I promise you this, it will never contradict his word. And his peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, will be attached to it. The important thing is to obey what he says. So if God is telling you to go, go. If he's telling you to stop right now, stop. If he's telling you to wait, wait. And you do what he says because you love him. And as Jesus said, "My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them," and he knows you, and you will follow. You might be wondering this morning, well, I get this, and thank you, Pastor Nate. Thank you, Lord, for speaking through me, but how? What does it look like? How can God speak to me? Well, God speaks to us in many different ways. And by the Holy Spirit, as we're in relation with him, we will hear his voice. And I'm just going to give you four ways, and there's more. There's more than just four. But here are four really important ones that God speaks to us. God, first of all, speaks to us through his word. If you want to hear God speak to you, simply, there's one way I guarantee you will always hear him. It's through your Bible. It's through the word of God. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, speak it out loud. 100% guaranteed. He will speak, you will hear him speak when you open your Bibles and read. You know, God often speaks to us through his word, bringing scripture alive before our eyes to speak to our specific need or our situation. What more can he say to us than what he has already said in his word? Because it is all sufficient. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." God's word is in all these things that we need, everything that we need, it's in here. Even communication through his gentle teaching, whether it, again, is reproof, correction, whether it's training, and we all need that. So number one, God speaks through his word. Number two, God speaks through witnesses, his witnesses. You know, God's spirit indwells those who have a relationship with him. We've already covered that. God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, indwells those who are right with him, in a right relationship with him. Therefore, God, can he speak to you through the wise counsel of another believer? Absolutely. And I'm sure for many of you, he has. And perhaps the person even next to you, God has used to speak to you through him or her. But we must be careful, because when we sense God is speaking to us through someone, we must ask ourselves, does this contradict anything in God's word? Is this something that provides peace and healing? Is this within the nature of God? And that's an important discerning process. Now, sometimes God speaks to us through others, and it could be to convict us or encourage us or direct us. But when he does, and we have turned our hearts to listen, we will feel a sense of peace and rightness about what was said, even if the words, and sometimes the words, are painful to hear. Third of all, God speaks through the world he has created. And for many of you, I've had this wonderful conversation. In nature is where you have really heard the voice of God proclaim what he has said through the word, but it's just almost been magnified in a place of nature. You know, Psalm 19 verses 1 to 2 says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanses declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." And the psalm tells us that God speaks through his creation, sometimes to tell us how great he is, other times to tell us how much you are loved, how much he is with you, how much he cares for you. And you can encounter and experience his word, hearing his voice, just by walking on a trail in Ferris Park. But then lastly, yes, God speaks through his word, through his witnesses, through the world he created. And lastly, God speaks through whispers on the heart. You know, sometimes God speaks to us in gentle whispers to comfort us, or when we feel urged to do something that we can't explain why. And through prayer and discernment, we can figure out that this is God's whisper on our heart. And, you know, sometimes God speaks to us this way through prayer, or by nudging us to pray for something we wouldn't otherwise have prayed for. And when God directs our prayers, he is speaking to us. He is whispering to us words of guidance and discernment and encouragement. And sometimes we call this our conscience, or that little voice inside. But it's important to understand that here are four ways, and there are more, in which God can speak to us and where we can hear his word. And whether that's a whisper of encouragement or a suggestion for you to act in love towards someone else, he whispers words to say at the proper time what we need to hear, perhaps even for a healing in our heart. No matter where you are in life, there are four and more ways in which you can hear God's voice. But God wants to communicate with you and with me each and every day. If you aren't in the habit of listening for his voice, well, I pray that this morning when you leave, this will be your new, and you will have a fresh desire to know what God is speaking to you about. If you've been confused, perhaps, about direction in your life, guess what? God wants to clarify things for you. If you simply want to know him more, he wants to teach you all that you need to know in a relationship with him. But God also longs to encourage you in your need, comfort you with his promises, and affirm to you his love. But it's up to you, and it's up to me, to then cultivate a heart that listens, so that we can receive, that you and I can receive what God has to say. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the comfort it is to know that you are sovereign, that you have provided for us your word, which is sufficient, that is everything that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's everything that we need relating to life and godliness. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that you would help us to hear your voice. We pray, Lord, for strength to dismantle any distractions, to get away, to get alone with you, so that we can pay attention to what you are saying to us, and then, Lord, obey and walk in your word. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to be encouraged and assured that you are our perfect parent. And what you have to say to us is always true. It's always right. And it's always good, no matter how we might feel about it. And so, Lord, help us to again be walking like children, to have that faith to just receive your word and to walk in it. We thank you, God, again, that your word truly gives us the right direction every time. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to continue to follow you today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.